Hello. Welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Techs. Today, we were supposed to talk about a wild deck, but since it is the beginning of the month, it is July, we're going to start every month off with the three top decks or three decks that I suggest you use to climb towards Legend. So we're going to talk about three decks. It won't be as in-depth as our last podcast because we're going to try to cover three different decks, and I don't want to overwhelm you with a bunch of information. But we'll talk about three decks, and you can choose which one deck you want me to feature next week of the three, and I'll go over that one in more detail. But today is a good opportunity since, you know, this is only our second podcast to talk about the Legend climb and how challenging it can be and what tactics you should use to get there, especially if you've never hit Legend before. Now, the ladder is very different than what it was 2 years ago or even a year ago before the implementation of the ranked floors. Before, if you hit rank 1 and you missed Legend, you would fall all the way back to rank 17 or 18 or something like that. And you would be forced to climb all the way back the following season. And what's worse was that there were no rank floors at the time. So you could fall to rank 1 and ride a really bad win streak and get to rank 10 or even worse. So there was a lot of apprehension in terms of climbing the ladder, right? Because you almost have failure paralysis at some point because you don't want to risk playing another game at the cost of losing and losing all the ranks and the hard work you've made to climb. Blizzard has done a good job of changing a lot of that. So now, you know, the worst you could do is always just fall back 5 ranks, right? You can go from 1 to 5 or 6 to 10 or 10 to 15, but it never gets worse than that. So really, there is no reason not to play. And one thing that I try to really instill among other players, especially if you never hit Legend before, is you'll never hit Legend if you don't play. I mean, you're right. You may not hit Legend if you play and you lose a bunch of games. That's certainly true. That can be a reality. But the harsher reality is that if you don't try, you'll never hit it, period. You know, you have to risk in order to be rewarded. So keep that in mind. The other thing that I'd like to impart on more people is that if you've never hit Legend before and you have no preference or style of what deck you play, you should always start the season by playing the fastest deck you can play. And there are a couple of reasons for this. Number one, a game that wins or loses, or a deck that wins fast or loses fast, means that within a set amount of time, you can get more games in. If you play a super aggressive deck like Odd Paladin, and the games take 5 to 6 turns, so we're talking like 4 to 5 minute length, long games, maybe longer, let's say 8 minute games, versus something like Taunt Druid, which can take anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes. In 1 hour, you can play 3 Taunt Druid games, but you can play something like 6 to 7 Odd Paladin games. So that's a big deal for two reasons, because number one, you just get the sheer volume, and number two, it's a lot easier to ride streaks. Now, from before you get to rank 5, if you get multiple wins in a row, you get the win streak, and you can kind of skip stars, and you can make your climb quicker. So it's important to get into that momentum and get into a mode where you're playing many games back-to-back. And slower decks are way more taxing and fatiguing in that regards, because you're always sitting there thinking about the plays, and a game can go 20 minutes long, and you end up losing. And that can be a huge setback, because you feel like, man, I spent 20 minutes. As opposed to Odd Paladin, you play 4 or 5 turns. The guy can only win if he board wipes you on this turn. He misses the board wipe, and you win on the spot. Or maybe he hits the board wipe, so you just concede, and you play another game. Or maybe hits the board wipe, and your hand is good, and you can refill, and you win. So that is the reason why you should play the quick decks first, especially if you're not at rank 5 yet, because you get the bonus. You can get the bonus stars for riding the streaks, especially in the beginning of the season or in the beginning of an expansion. Players they're jumping all over the place. They're trying to try new things. You know, the season just started. They have a long time to climb, so they can experiment. And you can play a fine-tuned deck, a finely tuned deck that's very linear and lean to take advantage of those missteps or errors or unoptimized deck lists that play, other players are playing, right? So keep that in mind when we talk about the decks. And in that vein, I'd like to talk about two very aggressive decks, two very lean aggressive decks, and one control deck, you know, just for other players. So typically, when I approach the ladder, if I'm trying to push for a high legend or something, I'll spend the first week, or I'll spend any rank that's not to rank 5, playing super aggressive or just very fine-tuned aggro deck lists. And once I hit rank 5, I will play the deck that I know best. Sometimes that's an aggro deck, but I will play a deck that has a solid matchup around the board that I can produce a, you know, 55 to 60% win rate with, you know. So for me, typically that's usually control decks. But that's it. Let's talk more about the decks themselves. So the first one is Odd Paladin. This is obviously very common. You've probably seen many, many Odd Paladin decks on ladder, because it is the best deck out there, right? It's one of the strongest archetypes, if not the strongest. We'll talk a little bit about the cards. I'm going to give you a standard deck list to use. We'll talk a little bit about cards you can change and why this is powerful. So two Icarus Veterans, two Argent Squires, two Blessing of Mites, two Fireflies, two Lost in the Jungle, two Righteous Protector, one Divine Favor, one Ironbeak Owl, two Raid Leaders, two Stonehill Defenders, two Unidentified Mauls, two Funkomancers, one Leroy, two Level Up, two Corridor Creeper, two Vine Cleavers, and a Bucket of Moon Eater. This is actually, whose list is this? Old School's list? He just hit Legend with that today, 74% win rate. Obviously, Odd Veterans, pretty simple deck. It takes advantage of a strengthened hero power. Paladin making 2/1s for 2 mana is very OP. That's a very strong hero power. And this deck takes advantage of that easily by using things like Raid Leader, going wide on boards. And the reason cards like Stonehill Defender are in here is because Stonehill Defender has a preclusion to give you class-based cards. So it gives you taunts, and it will kind of be biased towards class-based taunts, and there are only a couple taunts in standard for Paladin, and that is Tyrion and Sunkeeper Tarim. So if you get to play an even card in an odd deck, an even card like Sunkeeper Tarim, which is arguably one of the best cards in the game right now, you do that. So that is why Stonehill Defender is there. And it also allows you to let the rest of your early game board, your Argent Squires or your hero power or whatnot, to get in for a little more damage. Then you have cards like Unidentified Maul, which build the entire board or buff the entire board. You got Fungomancer. You got Leroy for Reach. You have Level Up, which sometimes just wins the games on the spot. This is a quick, it's a very powerful and aggressive deck. There are changes you could make, like the list I'm running. You could maybe add a Dire Maul, remove a one drop. You could get rid of Ironbeak Owl, which a lot of people don't like because Ironbeak Owl is kind of oddly statted. You could switch that with anything from like a Void Ripper, which is very cool. Void Ripper is a very cool tech card, or even go heavier on the curve with like Stormwind Champion, which really buffs the entire board. And is very strong. That's actually a pretty strong option. But that is that deck in general. It's a very straightforward deck. You go wide, you hit the face, you make a couple of value trades to make sure that your board remains, that you have tempo and pressure on the board, and then you just get away with just two like large turns, especially if you get Tarim. Now, Tarim is like make or break for a lot of decks. So it's good to pull into those. Odd Paladin is very easy to play, you know. if you make a mistake, you're going to fall behind, you'll falter, and you'll lose. But the deck is it can punish a lot of things out there, especially if they misdraw. Especially if a slower deck doesn't get the right cards in the mulligan, then Odd Paladin can just put them away right on the spot. It's powerful, very, very powerful deck. So obviously, if you want to rank quickly from, you know, something that's not whatever to rank 5, this is the deck to play. And it's crazy because it boasts – the crazy thing about Odd Paladin is that it boasts the best win rate among most decks that are out there, and it's aggressive. So it does two of the craziest things, and that's just that's hard to find, because you'll find a lot of decks like aggressive decks like Pirate Warrior or whatever that have close to a 50% win rate, or they're very popular, but their win rate is closer to 50%. Like Odd Paladin is just blowing decks out of the water, and I think it's great. It shows the power level of the deck, so definitely you want to try that out. If Paladin is not your thing, you can always try Odd Rogue. Like Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue benefits from a stronger hero power and just uses a mix of odd cards to find the reach. But to me, there's one reason why this deck is absolutely nuts, and that is simply is Henge Clan Thug, the neutral 3-drop. It is just ridiculous. So going through this deck list really quick, this is also another very aggressive deck and one that I suggest playing. 2 Argent Squires, 2 Cold Bloods, 2 Deadly Poison, 2 Dire Mole, 2 Firefly, 2 South Sea Deckhands, 2 Blink Fox, 2 Henge Clan Thugs, 2, a King of Mukla, 2 SI7 Agents, 2 Void Rippers, 1 Captain Greenskin, 2 Cobalt Scalebane, 2 Fungalmancer, 2 Leroy Jenkins, 2 Vile Spines, and a Baku the Moon Eater. This curve is a little different than most decks. You'll notice you have 6 1-drops that you want to play. Those are Dire Moles, Fireflies, and Argent Squires. You do have other 1-drops like South Sea Deckhand, but those are reach. They give you burst. So you don't really want those in the mulligan unless you need to have it in a very aggressive matchup. And then you follow up with just a huge 3-drop package. Blink Foxes, Henge Clan Thugs, King Mukla, SI7 Agents, and Void Rippers, which are interchangeable with any 3-drop. I think there are a bunch of 3-drops you could try that we can talk about a little bit, like Tangle for Mystic, which is the 3-4 for 3 that gives your opponent a 2-cost minion in hand. And the reason why that is good is because your hero power gives you 2 damage. So it's very likely that you'll be able to clear their drop if they were ever to drop it. And then you get a 3-4 for it, right? For 3. Which is strong. A lot of people go with Vicious Fledgling, but I feel like Vicious Fledgling is in a poor spot, especially because it just doesn't do... like, unless you roll Wind Fury, people are going to kill the Fledgling. So it really isn't as strong as it could be. You'll find that card is not that strong. Although some games it can just steamroll. But I find that those games are few and far between. King Mukla sees play. It's very strong, and it does a couple of very crazy things. First of all, let's talk about another card first. Let's talk about Henge Clan Thug, okay? 3-4, 3-3. Whenever your hero attacks, you give this minion 1. So ideally on turn 1, you play something. Turn 2, you always hero power. If you have this in hand, you're not going to attack. You're going to save it. And on turn 3, you play Henge Clan Thug, then you attack, and you got a 4-4 for 3 mana on turn 3. That's going to grow. So now they are on an absolute clock, because on their turn 3 or turn 4, they have to kill this thing. And it's going to be very likely that they may not have an answer. And that means next turn you swing, it becomes a 5-5, and they are in trouble. This card snowballs very quickly. One of the strongest cards in the meta, in my opinion. Can win games on the spot versus many, many decks. Very strong. Now, King Mukla is very similar, because if people like 3-4 or 4-4, they absolutely gotta love 3-4 or 5-5. Now, Battlecry, give your opponent 2 bananas. Before, this would be a problem in a lot of decks, because they could easily play a drop and then buff it, and you would have to use the King Mukla to trade it out, or, you know, it wouldn't be as valuable as you thought. But now that you have a hero power that does two damage instead of one damage, it kind of gives you more leeway and space to do things that you want to. So King Muckler becomes very strong. It's also very good versus cards like Evenlock or decks like Evenlock, because you can throw bananas in their hand, make them overdraw, or like Mage, you know, throw bananas in the hand. Maybe they burn a Jaina or something. So there is a lot of play there. It's very cool. And, you know, we have a pretty fat five-drop package. There's a lot of five-drops, actually. How many do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About a third of the deck are five-drops. It's kind of a lot, and I could definitely see dropping certain cards. Like I could see dropping Captain Greenskins for taunts or for Void Rippers. Those are options. This is a deck where I wouldn't play Edwin Van Cleef. You could play weapon removal like Gluttonous Ooze, you know, maybe even like, you know, Poisonous Scientist. I could definitely see reasons to drop Captain Greenskin. It is excessive. However, it is very strong. You know, you think about your weapon with this equipped or with a deadly poison, like you're gonna be messing with people for sure. So that is Odd Rogue. Like I said, in a mulligan, you want to keep one drops, but you want to prioritize Henge Clan Thug. So if you have a hand of one drops, you don't need all of them. You only need one. You know, you need one to play on turn one, and you want to play a three drop. Typically, you want to go hard for Henge Clan Thug. So I'd say if you have three drops and no one drops, you mulligan everything away. If you have a one drop, you maybe mulligan, you know, you keep the one drop and try to get Henge Clan Thug. Henge Clan Thug is just so strong, I think. You know, I think it's a very powerful, powerful card. So consider that a card you need to see. And that's a deck in a very quick, concise version. Like I said, there's so many three drops in this deck, and they're all interchangeable. I think Blink Fox is okay. Blink Fox is a nice, sturdy value card. You know, its stats are fair. It's 3/4, 3/3, which is equitable on the stat line. And it gets you a random class card. RNG is not always the greatest thing. But there is value there. Like I said, the other options are Void Ripper, which is very good if you want to flip boards around or find lethal with your, you know, make your Dire Moles 3-1 attackers or whatever. Kill Doomsayers. You know, it does a lot of things. Void Ripper is actually pretty strong. And I think Tanglefur Mystic is also very strong. The only thing about Tanglefur Mystic is if you're playing Tanglefur, I maybe would not play King Mukla, because you don't want to give them a creature that they can buff with the bananas. But maybe you do, I don't know. Like, but those are what I think about the deck. I think this deck is very strong. I think it's good against Druid, good against Mage, good against Priest, good against Warlock. It's kind of even versus Shaman and struggles versus Paladin. And I'd say slightly struggles versus Hunter. You could put Fan of Knives in the deck, but I don't think a defensive option, because I don't think that option helps you. Like, you imagine what happens, right? Like, it's your turn three, or it's Paladin's turn two, and he plays hero power. It puts 1/1s on the board. You have a 1/1. It's your turn three. Are you going to play Fan of Knives just to get rid of 2 mana worth of stats, or, you know, whatever? Like, it's not the greatest play. And especially like a deck like this, you just want to play into your game plan, especially in other matchups, right? So I don't know about Fan of Knives. I think you could play it. It just doesn't fit the deck well. You don't have preparation. Like, it's just not the right fit for the deck. We can definitely talk about this deck more in more detail on another stream, another video or whatnot, or another week of the podcast. But that's all up to you. The last deck I want to talk about is Even Warlock. I've done a deck tech video on my YouTube page, youtube.com/KinsanityHS, about Even Warlock. Even Warlock is a slower deck that wants to win with just big creatures and big value. But I think one of the most novel things about the deck, and which makes people really enjoy it, is playing a Mountain Giant on turn three. So even lock makes the hero, warlock hero power cost one, which means on turn one, you can life tap, which means if you have the coin on turn three, you can play a mountain giant, which means it's OD. Okay. And you get all of the defensive set options. Let me go through a list for you. Okay. Here's Moyen's even warlock list. One acidic swamp ooze, two defile, one doomsayer, two stubborn gastropod, two Sun Fury Protector, two Vulgar Homunculus, two Hellfire, two Hooked Reaver, two Lesser Amethyst Spellstones, two Shroombrewers, two Spellbreakers, two Twilight Drakes, a Dread Inferno, a Gen Greymane, a Black Knight, a Bone Mare, a Lich King, a Blood Reaver Gul'dan, and two Mountain Giants. Now, this is a very fine-tuned list, probably meta-dependent. There, so let me talk about spaces where you could fit your own stuff. Acidic Swamp Swampoos is not necessarily necessary, but it's probably a nice card to have. You know, like Paladin Weapons, the occasional Warrior, Twig of the World Tree from Druid. Like, Acidic Swampoos can help you there. But it's not necessary. Doomsayer, you know, there's only one copy here. You could definitely run two. Stubborn Gastropod actually is a card that doesn't see a lot of play. This may be better off as the 2-3 Beetle, whatever the Beetle's called. The neutral Beetle that gives you armor. Could be that. Or you could keep running the Gastropods. I keep the rest of the cards here. Blacklight is not necessary, but I think it's pretty good. Bone Mare is certainly not necessary. You could opt for a bunch of different options there. But the rest of the deck is pretty important. I think it's pretty locked in. You can't really change it out. I don't know what to really say about this deck. It can be powerful. It's good against those decks that I just talked about. It's pretty good against Rogue because of cards like Acidic Swamp Ooze and Doomsayer. You can really mess up the tempo turns of the Rogue player. It's good against Odd Paladin. It's strong against many, many decks, and it has a good win rate against the entire field. I feel it's a good option to play, especially if you want something a little slower and with a little more resilient than those aggro decks that I talked about. Because with the aggro decks, you know, if they get wiped, it can be quite difficult to come back. So this is definitely another option. But like I said, it's very fine. You can make a lot of changes to fit your kind of meta. You know what I mean? Depending on what you need exactly. But remember, this is an only even deck, so a lot of options, tech options, are not available. While others are. Yep, good deck, pretty cool. So those are the three decks I wanted to talk about. What do you guys think about those three decks? Remember, we two decks to get to rank five. And a deck for when you're at rank five to kind of close it out easily. Or, you know, I don't know, easily, but to close it out consistently with a strong win rate with a warlock deck. So those are the different decks there. I'm willing to talk about one of those decks in more detail on next week's podcast, if you let me know. If not, I'll just probably talk about Miracle Rogue. I think Miracle Rogue is a deck that has a very sweet and just very rich history in the game of Hearthstone and in other card games as well. So I'd like to maybe expound upon that archetype a little bit more because it's a blast to play. But, you know, if you want to hear more about one of these decks, we can definitely do that. Or if you want to watch my matches, just follow me on twitch.tv/Kinsanity or on my YouTube at youtube.com/KinsanityHS. I'd love to talk about Hearthstone. I love the game. I love to play. You know, I don't play as often as I once did, but I still play often enough to talk about the game, I think. You know, as always, thanks for following me. You know, if you could help me, just share this on your Twitter, on your Facebook, wherever, you know, let people know that you're interested in the content. If you need the deck codes, let me know. I can put those on my Twitter for you. My Twitter is KinsanityHS on Twitter. That's pretty much it for this podcast. once again, thank you guys for listening. I hope to make a lot of content for you in the future, and I hope this was helpful for you. And if there's anything you can improve, I can improve on, let me know. I certainly will. Thanks for watching.